The Bible, for me, is a guidebook.
I think it's inspired by God, and I do think it's filled with inaccuracies.
And you'll see things in there that remind you of yourself, and it'll make you really want to change. You realize that that Bible's not lying to you, but it's telling you truth.
圣经，至今仍然是可信的。
It's just a storybook written by some people about some character.
There's plenty of things that even if you don't believe in God, there's plenty of things in the Bible that can improve your life.
I personally don't think everything should be taken literally.
The Bible? That's controversial. Thank you for asking.
The Bible's still here. This book is almost 2,000 years old. It still exists for some reason, and to me, that stands out. That means something. It's not coincidence.
It's still here. The Bible is still here. In 1947, let me tell you the story. In 1947, an obscure cave west of the Dead Sea, a shepherd discovered some scrolls carefully placed in 10 tall jars. And actually, the story goes, the way he discovered this is,He was a shepherd. He was kind of bored. So he was throwing rocks, trying to get the rocks into this cave. There's caves all over this area. And when he threw a rock into this cave, suddenly he heard the sound of pottery shattering. And so he went to investigate, and he found all these jars. And in these jars were manuscripts.And eventually, some 800, 900 manuscripts would be found in 11 caves near the valley now known as Qumran. And many of the documents contained biblical texts. Either fragments or copies were found of every book in the Old Testament except for Esther. And they had been placed in these caves around the middle of the first century A.D., or perhaps even a little bit earlier. And the amazing fact is that they had lain there undisturbed for 1900 years. But why are these Dead Sea Scrolls, as they're known, so important for us? The reason is that before the discovery, the earliest manuscripts for biblical texts dated from around the 9th century after Christ. So around, 800, right? These were copies that suddenly we had that moved us back 1,000 years in history, 1,000 years back to see what the biblical manuscript would look like. And they found all kinds of, they found pieces of each book of the Bible, except for Esther. They found a scroll that they unrolled and translated, and they found out that it was the complete book of Isaiah, dating from about the second century before Christ. So 200 years before Christ. It's 1,000 years older than any kind of Hebrew scripture document that we had had. And as they've worked on these, the big question would be, what we find, would it suddenly show us that what's been passed down to us has really not been the true Bible? How, were there lots of differences between 200 years before Christ and 800 years after Christ? Would there be major differences? And the work is ongoing. There's so many fragments and things. The work is ongoing. But the texts are amazingly similar to the documents that we already have. The variations in the old one versus the one in 800, the variations are less than 2%. And not a single teaching or doctrine of the Bible we have is altered. Rather than posing a threat to the Christian faith, the Dead Sea Scrolls, in fact, provided convincing support for the genuineness of God's revelation as given to us in the Bible. Most ancient manuscripts, most ancient stories and things that we know, like Homer's Odyssey. There might be like 2,000 ancient manuscripts of the Odyssey. For the Bible, we have 25,000 ancient manuscripts. And as you learn about all these manuscripts, you find out that all the little variations are really, really small. It's not like, you know, around 800, they were saying, you know, God was going to send a Messiah to save people, and you jump back 1,000 years, and it doesn't say anything about God wanting to save us. The changes are a missed letter, a change of a letter, a missed written down something, a use of a different word perhaps, but nothing that would qualify us to say, you see, we don't know what to believe because there's so many different versions. That's the Qumran story. It's an amazing story. I could go on and on about what we have as the biblical text. And for some, that helps with this question of, is the Bible reliable? It helps to know that there's all these ancient manuscripts, but we could keep going. Because like I said, they haven't finished with all the Dead Sea Scrolls, and we could keep looking for more manuscripts. We could keep asking the questions, how can we know for sure? Is the Bible reliable? So we could keep searching for all this document evidence. But I think another thing we have to realize that whether for ourselves or for people around us, when people ask, is the Bible reliable, I think it's fair to use my professor Robert Kolb's question, why do you want to know? Because that changes things. Is the Bible reliable? Why do you want to know? I mean, ask yourself that question or be thinking that question as somebody else is talking to you about this. Sometimes, why do you want to know? It puts people a little bit on the spot or on the edge, so you might not ask it in that way. But what's the question behind the question? Does that make sense? What's the question behind the question? Kind of like, if you woke up this morning and said, so is it snowing? What's the question behind the question? Should I just stay in bed today and not brave the roads? Right? That's the question behind the question. So is the Bible reliable? What's the question behind the question? Well, for some of us, and for people we know, the question behind that question is that we believe some of the Bible, but it's difficult to believe the whole thing. And if I can't believe the whole thing, can I really, is it really reliable? Can I really trust in it? I've got some of it, but I'm not sure about all of it. And the example I always use is, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he rose again from the dead. But that whole story in the Old Testament about Jonah, the prophet, getting swallowed by a big fish, that's got to be a fish story. And so you struggle, right? And so part of it is the Bible reliable? The question behind the question is, what do I do with the fact that I believe the Bible, and yet there's parts of it that I have trouble believing? That's the real question. And that's why we have the language that we do in our membership language. You've got it in the bulletin today. What page number is that? 11, page 11. Why we wrote it this way, about the membership language. We say, becoming a member of the gathering of disciples at Bethel means trusting that Bethel is seeking to teach faith in Jesus according to God's word, as best expressed in Lutheran theology according to the Lutheran confessions, knowing that even if you have trouble understanding every teaching, Bethel seeks God's truth and not our own truth. The key for us today is that last sentence, knowing that even if you have trouble understanding every teaching, or maybe we should be really saying, like, even if you have trouble believing every teaching or feeling confident of everything in the Bible, that what we're going to trust is that we're going to seek God's truth and not our own truth. Is the Bible reliable? I'm asking that because I'm a little shaky on some parts of the Bible. And if I'm shaky on some parts of the Bible, what's that mean for my faith? And here at Bethel, we're saying, we get it. We know that we are shaky about some parts of the Bible. And that comes and goes. Maybe you've been shaky at times and you're feeling confident now. Maybe you're feeling confident now, but somewhere down the road, you're going to say, I don't know about that. And at Bethel, we're saying, we know that. We're going to admit that, that we have doubts and struggles. It's hard to know. How do we know that this document is true? And yet what we're saying is we're going to look for God's truth. We're going to commit ourselves to this word of God and not just come up with our own theories. Look at Jeremiah 17, the reading today. The second half of this Jeremiah passage says, blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord, is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. Does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. What we're saying is that Bethel, we're committed to the word of God. We're committed to being planted by the water. We're committed to being planted by the water. We're committed to being planted in God's word, because we see that in God's word is the source of life. And we're sending out roots. And sometimes those roots really grow really well, and they get that life-giving word. And sometimes we're having trouble sending out roots, and then we're struggling to believe. But what we're doing together is we are planted by the water. We are planted in God's word. Is the Bible reliable? I'm wondering that because I struggle to believe some of the Bible. Got some of it, but I'm not sure about all of it. And the answer is come be planted by God's word. Come be planted in him. Seek the Lord in his word together. That's our commitment together. But maybe there's another question behind the question. Is the Bible reliable? And maybe the question behind the question, or the statement behind that, is that somebody, you sense it to be true, but that would lead to changing your life. You know, is the Bible reliable? It's much easier to debate about where the Bible come from, how do we know it's true? It's much easier to stay on that surface level and debate that than to admit, you know what, this sounds true to my heart, but if it's true to my heart, that's going to mean some changes in my life. It's, much easier sometimes just to feel like a rolling stone, right? Following the wind wherever it goes. And, you know, you're just kind of moving along. But then you realize that as you hear the word, something in you is resonating. And if it's resonating, then maybe it is true. And if it is true, then that means huge changes. Go again to Jeremiah. And it says not that you will, one who has trust in the Lord will not be anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So when you are struggling to believe, or when you realize that you are resisting believing because it would mean changing your life, that's kind of like a drought, right? It's kind of a way of saying, you know, I'm just going to kind of step away from God's word. I'm not so sure about this, but although I'm kind of feeling kind of empty. But notice that if you're planted in God's word, it reminds you that it will bear fruit. That the fruit and the hope come from God's word. So turn to God's word. But finally, is the Bible reliable? And part of it is that you want to prove it by scientific method. Prove everything in the Bible by full scientific method. And ultimately, we can't. Ultimately, we can't. I heard a story on the radio this week, and they was doing like some kind of biology experiments, and they came across something that they can't explain, and the scientist says, we have a word for that. And the reporter says, really, what is it? And he says, that's weird. It's a weird moment. We don't know why it does this. That's weird. So even scientists have these that's weird moments. And when we're in scripture and we want to prove all of it, sometimes it's just that's weird. That's weird that God's word would continue to speak into our lives. That's weird that I resonate with what this word says. It's like one of the guys said in the video, that's weird that it keeps speaking to me. This document that's 2,000, 3,500 years old keeps speaking to me. That's weird. But maybe that's where truth is. And it eventually comes down to the message. What does it say? What does this word say? And what it says is that all of God's good gifts will come again to us, even though we are sinners. All of God's good gifts will come to us through Jesus. Through the cross, the resurrection, all is a gift. That we may be burning up in the heat and the drought. We may be poor and hungry and weeping and being hated. But God promises that one day we will be rescued from all those things through a gift of his, through his grace, through his love, his forgiveness. That's the message. And as you explore that message, you go, that's weird. That really resonates. That really seems divine. Everything else out there I've read seems like I've got to keep working and working and working, and I have no assurance. That's weird. Here in this Bible, across 66 books, 40 to 50 authors, thousands of years, across this whole book is this promise that God loves me and will never forsake me. That's weird, but that might be the truth. I'll close with this. A couple of people have asked me, why isn't this question earlier in Explore God? Is the Bible reliable? But I'm really, really thankful that it's not. Because our faith is not based on, do you believe in the Bible? Great. Now let me tell you about Jesus. Our faith is, let me tell you about Jesus. And let me tell you what he did for us, what that means for you. Let me tell you what God has told us about his plan of salvation. That's the gospel. And along the way, as you learn more and more and see that message more and more clearly throughout the Bible, you come to rely on the Bible. But if I just said, read the Bible, believe it, and then I'll get back to you and tell you about how Jesus saves you, that's kind of flipping it around. It begins with a relationship with Jesus. And over time, through prayers, through the Holy Spirit, we keep saying, help me to keep trusting this word that you have passed down to me, Lord. Because in this word, I keep seeing over and over again your same fingerprints, your same message of grace and mercy and truth. Is the Bible reliable? Sometimes I wonder. But as I keep going back to it, I keep seeing this message of Christ, which is weird, but it's a divine truth that can't be explained any other way except that God knows what grace and love and mercy are, and he knows that we need this word, and thank God it has been preserved for all these years so that we can also hear his word. Amen.